Welcome to our fourth episode of the Real Family Podcast. I am Roz Mignona from realfoodfamily.com, and I'm with Kathleen Chapman of kathleenchapman.com. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Roz.
Welcome to episode four. This has been super fun. We say it every time. Our last podcast, we talked about tantrums and misbehavior, and we barely even got through the first two temperaments, reds and yellows. So I'm excited to kind of finish up this conversation, talk about the other two temperaments, our blue and green, and what misbehavior might look like. I do have a few questions prepared for you dealing with this issue.
Okay.
And I also just wanted to plug, you had a recent post on your website about, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of these holidays are coming up, and just to put you on the spot, do you have any advice advice for us? You know, family time can flare up, and what do you think are the best things to focus on and things that are important to avoid, maybe discussions or...
Well, the best part about being a grandma is everything in hindsight I can see in 2020 vision. So I can look back and say, oh, I wish I had done this when my kids were small. And wish I had done this. And I think probably unanimously across the board, I wish I had slowed down and enjoyed every minute. Now, I know talking to all you young moms, you're going to go, oh, that's impossible. We just can't. But truthfully, take a deep breath before you do each project and shoot a prayer to the Lord and say, you know, help me enjoy this. Help me slow down and enjoy my day, because they're going to be gone. It's going to be over before you know it.
Yes, that's totally true. And even, you know, as your kids get older, yeah, it goes by so quickly. And I feel like my oldest is 8, and it's definitely at the point of really focusing on teaching them what's most important about these holidays and most important about the meaning of Thanksgiving and especially Christmas. And I'm actually really excited that Christmas is on a Sunday this year, because I love waking up and going to church on Christmas morning.
Yes, it seems so much more appropriate.
Definitely. And it just sets the tone for a great day. So I'm excited. I'm excited for everyone now who listens to our podcast to understand temperaments a little bit more and share this information with their families. And of course, tell them to listen to the podcast so they can learn about it as well. But also probably navigate some of the heightened emotions. And maybe if you've always butted heads with a certain family member or had issues, now you maybe might understand why, because you're now understanding the temperaments. And so let's get back into this. My question. Okay. Last week we were talking about the tantrums, kind of misbehavior of reds and yellows. And question came up, and I could actually apply this question to my own personal life, but with a bully situation, when you have a child that is being bullied, we could say, you know, I think sometimes, because bullying is a hot topic right now, there is serious bullying, and then there's behavior that is unpleasant and typical for young reds, that just borderlines the bullying, you know, being able to call it bullying.
Right.
So the question is, there's the child that is the mother is asking about her child, who feels she's doing a really good job of, her child's doing a really good job of standing her ground and not arguing and not causing problems or fighting, but there is a strong, seems like a red-yellow temperament that is kind of running the show in the classroom, in the situation, and gets picked to be the leader all of the time, and gets picked to do things because it's, you know, this red yellow is a very good student anyway, and it's turned into bossing around, and now it's sort of turning into little games that are being played to kind of make it's like it's almost bullying. It's to me, it sounded like it's this borderline bullying where this kid has a lot of power and is manipulating the situation. So the big question is, when does the parent get involved with this situation, and what does the parent do?
Okay, the parent gets involved as soon as they suspect their child is being picked on or bullied. And the first thing the parent needs to do is open the communication completely open between them and their child. And if they have to, take him out for an ice cream and sit and talk about everything from what exactly has been going on to how they're feeling. The most important thing with any of the temperaments, as far as the children go, is to know somebody cares. That goes a long way for all the children. We have talked about the reds and yellows, and now today we're going to kind of address the blues and greens. The blue children are basically very, very good children, and they will tend to slide into the background and be a good target for little bullies. They will not stand up for themselves, neither do the green. And they're the most obviously easiest target for the bullies, are the little blue and green temperaments. But as soon as a parent has any suspicions at all, and another thing is, parents, don't be afraid to go to the teachers. I know this may come as a surprise to some of you, but not all the teachers are tuned in to every single personality that's in the classroom. Teachers are responsible for, I have two daughter-in-laws who are teachers, so I'm speaking of which I know. But teachers are responsible for so much more academically and behaviorally, and as far as the relationship with the parents and the principal and their school and the rules and everything that goes on that a teacher is responsible for, they will miss a situation that might be happening to your child unless you point it out. And my daughter-in-law said she welcomes any parent with any topic to come and address it to her. She is not put off by parents that come in with a problem. The teacher was the last one to know, usually. So go immediately to the teacher and explain what's going on. If this continues, right up front also, I encourage all the moms to pray with their kids for the people that are causing problems. My mom did really well about that. That was one thing I remember as a child. If there was someone who was picking on me or didn't like me or whatever else, my mom would always pray for that child, and she would do it at the dinner table. So it was really funny because my brother and sister would look around and say, who's she praying about? who's she praying for? But that teaches a child the fact that God is involved in every aspect of your life. And include him in this. And also, you know that the number one thing if you don't like someone is to put them on the top of your prayer list. I've taught you that, Roz.
Yeah.
Put them on the top of your prayer list and spend more time on your knees about that person, and you're going to be surprised at what God can do. So, but definitely jump in. As parents, you suspect anything, you jump in.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. And yeah, I know with my kids in these similar situations, you know, when they're in gymnastics or whatever, and there's just, you have a lot of strong wills in that community. And my daughter goes through this. And when we've had these problems, we've prayed for them. It's an opportunity to show your kids that as Christians, we're called to love everyone and have a heart like the Lord's, a heart like God's. And so to be able to teach your kids that it's really easy to love people that you like a lot, but it's a lot harder to love people that rub you the wrong way. My Bible study instructor calls it sandpaper people. God puts sandpaper people in our lives so that our rough edges get to be sanded out. They rub us the wrong way.
Yes, that's so right.
But we have to thank God for sandpaper people. And a lot of times reds are probably sandpaper people, huh? Or I guess any temperament for some people could rub them the wrong way. But well, okay. So misbehavior temperaments, we covered reds, we covered yellows pretty much. We went through yellow pretty quickly, but I think we could sum it up. You know, I would sum it up with reds being the strongest tempers, probably the most stubborn, it really helped me going into the week after we recorded that podcast to think about how my red child really needs results. So yes. With the red, it's results. They like to see that they have accomplished something and that their accomplishments are recognized. And my red child does not respond to rewards as much as my yellow. Yellows love reward.
Rewards and relationships.
Yes, the time spent with them. Yes. It's very, very helpful to know that and how to, how to honor the good behavior and honor their strengths, but of course, how to make sure that we are properly guiding their weaknesses, which for the reds would be that strong temper and kind of wanting to control things and wanting to, and really always pushing disrespect. Mm-hmm. And then my yellow is just drama. Really does not want to do things that are difficult, and it usually turns into a very, very dramatic situation. And making sure we had actually interestingly this week we had one pretty dramatic outburst. It actually doesn't happen very often with my yellow, but she, man, and I think it had something to do with hair or clothes. Yeah, I was.
Was it at home?
Yes.
I do want to caution you. There is appropriate behavior when you're at home that you allow. And then when you're out, the appropriate thing is not to have a dramatic meltdown when you're out. It's just not. And they can be taught that.
Yes. You know,
well, we'll deal with this when we get home and you can share what's wrong. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, this particular situation was not allowed either. It was too dramatic for anything we would ever allow. So that, but you know, so what I did is I picked her up and we went outside in the street where the neighbors could hear her and stopped the screaming. So
ooh, yes,
took her out of the situation, right? Was that the right thing to do?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So do blues and greens have misbehavior? Because it seems like they wouldn't, but I'm sure I'm wrong.
Well, yes. You're wrong because because children are children.
Yeah.
And I think that the greens get a lot away with a lot because they are such good little children on the outside, as all children have an outside goodness and an inside whatever. But the little blues, you will find that their overriding tendency is to be negative. They will point out the negative before they'll point out the positive. I mean, when something's going wrong. If they're having a bad day, they will capitalize on that. A blue tendency is to always go to the negative first, believe it or not. And as they grow up, they can actually train themselves not to do that. I think about my husband. And it was when we were first married and I would want to do something. And the first thing he would always do would be, oh, I can't do that. We can't do that. You know, that was his right out of the gate comment. And once he caught himself doing that, as we went on with our married life, he recognized it even before I did. And he said, that's just his tendency. And I think of the blue people around me, and that's true. It's always the negative comes up first, and then they will stop and regroup and realize that it can be done. So a little blue, they always can see what's wrong or what's negative, but they're not loud about it like your reds and your yellows. The little blue will pout and go into themselves, and you've seen children do this. You've seen children that will refuse to talk to their parents. They'll throw a pout and... Whereas everybody gets upset when the red throws their tantrum because it's out loud, the blues get away with a lot and their attitudes because they're quiet about it. But it's even equally as much wrong for them and for their disrespect when they're throwing a pout. So it's very interesting to know the children's temperaments and see each one and how they do. A little green, the most recognizable thing about a little green is they withdraw. They withdraw from the conversation. They withdraw from attention. They withdraw from intimacy when they are pouting and having a problem with something. The blues just go into a funk, you know?
Right.
And so those are equally as disrespectful in a home and to their parents as the little reds and yellows who lash out. So that's something to always be mindful of, that you actually see your children, take the time to recognize what's going on, and deal with it accordingly.
You made me realize and remember, so my oldest, I always talk about her as being red, but she's also blue, and she truly is like 50-50. I mean, when you describe a blue, it's like 100% Eden, and it's when you describe red, it's 100%. I mean, she is equally. So I always say, you know, her red makes her blue very stubbornly critical when she gets in her negative. Okay. We had a pretty big problem that was more so when she was younger, because I think I've worked with you on this, but where when she decided she did not want to, well, she hates spontaneity, absolutely right. Hates it. Right. I mean, can't handle it. So when she was little, for instance, we're at our little homeschool co-op program at school, and she wins an award in chapel, and no one knew it, and she absolutely refused to go on stage. Absolutely, like would not go.
Right.
And then everyone thought, oh, how cute, she's just so shy. And I'm going, no, she's not, because if she memorizes a song, she wants to be on stage, you know, front and center, and will sing it. Or going to a new class, she absolutely has always hated change. Every time we're in a new church class, school type class, ballet, you know, trying to get her to start anything new or be in a new situation, she would, you know, it was like digging her heels in the ground, would not talk, would not look, would hold, and she's a strong little booger, and she would hold her strength and would not, I mean, it was a physical thing to actually get her to go. So this is, okay. I think, I mean, and we've worked through this, you know, and a big part, I'm sure what you're going to talk about is preparing a child, but it was very difficult because you told me this was disrespect. When I thought it was just her being so uncomfortable and that I shouldn't push it. So what's the line, you know, between pushing a child to do something they're absolutely uncomfortable with or respecting and doing what they're expected to do?
Well, I've experienced your daughter in different arenas, and I would say right out of the gate that she is a little more blue than red, because a red child will be spontaneous if it benefits them without batting an eye. A blue child has so much difficulty with spontaneity. They literally, this does not fit into their character. So anybody that has a child that is blue, don't spring surprises on them, especially not in front of people. I've had so many moms come up and say, oh, listen, my daughter performs all the time at home. Come here, watch her perform for Miss Kathleen. And the child dies.
Yeah.
Just dies a million deaths right there in front of me. And I can see it. The surprises and the spontaneous pushing is not part of a blues world. So I beg you parents to please let your little blues know what's going on before you go someplace. Make sure they're okay with it. I'm not asking you to ask them permission. I'm asking you to let them know what is expected of them. And if it's a right or wrong issue, then of course they have to do what's right. But if it's not a moral issue, give them some slack. Because blues would rather die than make a fool of themselves. They are my best actors in theater.
Right.
Blues are my best actors, bar none. But they don't do it without preparation and without lots of rehearsal. And that's a little blue child. They are delicate. Their heart is delicate, and they can be scarred easily. It's not something to handle frivolously, like maybe you'd handle your little yellow and throw her up on stage and she would perform and love every minute of it, you know? Blues are not like that. Blues Blues need to be know you're interested in them and you care about them, but life is not only about them.
Yes, right.
So that's the big thing, because they tend to come off negative. They are self-deprecating people. They see the world through their eyes only. And when it's a little child especially, it's so important that you point out the other children with different feelings, the other children with different needs, so that a blue child knows that they're going to contribute to somebody else's life if they do something nice.
Right. Yeah, and probably doing things for, you know, making an effort to do things for other people and
right.
people who are in greater need than,
oh my goodness,
than they
I
are.
Need, the first thing is a little child, you need to take the little blues out to a rescue mission or someplace and serve Thanksgiving dinner to the people who don't have anything. Because the blues from young ages tend to focus on themselves. And, you know, we do this to children. We do it to them. Where it's all about them. Oh, they're beautiful. They're precious. They're wonderful. They're talented. And we focus everything about them. And the blues take it the most seriously. They're the ones that need to have their eyes off of themselves and onto other people.
Well, and I can see how when you do that, though, and you properly, you know, open a blues worldview and perspective, that they might be the champions for change, you know, because then they see the injustice in the world and the injustice, and they're going to want to right those wrongs and probably become really compassionate and caring. I can see how that is just extremely beneficial.
Once a blue child has given their life to Jesus, it's so exciting to watch them grow and develop, because they have this complete dimension now where God is free to show them things and help them learn. And it's just, it's really exciting. They're blues are the learners. They're the analyzers. They love to grow and to learn, and they just absorb all they can of life. So when given good direction and good parenting, a blue will conquer the world.
Yeah, I can see that. I can also see that criticism and a blue being constantly criticized and also a blue constantly criticizing others. Those are, I've seen that in my own family, you know.
Yes.
And that criticism seems to crush a sensitive blue, but also the blue that finds it easy to criticize and see what's wrong can become a major problem.
Right. Well, blues, like I said, they only criticize themselves first, and then because of that, they are also very critical of others. Yes, and they can be very vocal about it, and that's where the parent steps in and takes the negative and turns it into a positive, and points out the positive things. Then this is a hands-on parenting. Each temperament is, but with the blues, the consequences are almost more serious. I think I gave you the statistic. The fifth cause of death for children ages 5 to 15 is suicide.
Yeah.
So when you criticize a yellow, they will go into a dramatic momentarily. The reds may get angry. The greens will just dive deeper into the woodwork, but the blues become depressed. And it can become such a serious depression when a lifetime of criticism is pounced upon them that there's a hard way to climb out of it.
Right. Right. And I can see how a red-blue parent could probably cause a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Criticizing their children, you know, coming from such a critical place.
Right.
Okay. Greens. Do they do anything wrong? I've actually learned, because we have a lot of greens and I have green in me, that actually we can be brats, right?
But you do it so nicely. You do it so nicely, Roz, that nobody suspects anything. That is the beauty of you as a child too, Roz. You not only helped everybody in the theater class, you were You did it with a smile when you criticized people and you told other children, no, you're not doing that right. And you would smile and say, do it like this. And the whole time, everybody thought you were my helper. And you do it such, greens are so, so nice. That is, oh my goodness, that's the number one thing you can tell about a green. And they like life that is as conflict-free as possible. That is the number one word for a green, comfortable. They love to be comfortable. A little inside hint, if you have a green child, they love soft, snuggly teddy bears and soft, snuggly blankets. And they love things that are comfortable and soft. And you see some children that love to cuddle up with their blankets at night, and some that don't even have a blanket and never did. And that's the difference usually in a green child with, you know, compared to the others. The greens want to be accepted for who they are. They have a kind heart. They're most balanced of all the temperaments. They have more diplomacy than the other temperaments. They stay calm and cool and collected. They're adaptable, which is really, really exciting, especially when you were talking about the blue, who doesn't like spontaneity. The greens will easily adapt. They don't really like change, but they adapt so nicely that you don't know that they don't like change. They are overwhelmed if you give them too many things to do at once. They're overwhelmed with problems. They don't like change all the time, but like I said, they are adaptable. It's just nicer if you don't have to put them through it. It's exhausting for them.
Right, like where a blue might like a list of things to do, the green just needs one thing at a time.
Exactly.
To accomplish. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And they will accomplish it, and you just have to be patient with them. I think you know that the article on this temperament a few years ago was written about they have less energy than the other three temperaments. And now my eyes are open thinking, oh my goodness, that was my mom. When she got home from work, she was a career woman, but when she got home from work at night during the week, she was done, completely done. And I took it as negative against me, thinking she didn't like me for a lot of years. But my mom was a green, and when she had done a day's work, by dinner time, she was done. She parented more on the weekends because that's when she had her energy back. So when you are married to a green spouse, you have to be aware that they are not going to come alive at 7 o'clock at night. They're mostly exhausted. If they have put in a long day's work, they are exhausted. And the little green children as well. You're going to find they sleep longer than your other kids. They require naps longer. That was really funny. My niece napped until she was 12. She is all green, and when she would get home from school, the first thing she'd do would go in and take a nap before she did her homework or anything. And I used to think that maybe something was wrong with her. Did the parents not give her enough nutrition? What was going on? And no, it was actually that she was 99% green, and she requires more rest than the other temperaments. So you can find that obvious to a little green in your house.
Yeah. I've found focusing on more of the negative side, because you always say, you say the word nice so many times with greens, and it is so true. But they're nice to a fault, I think, is the key, is passive aggressive behavior, right. is right. Number one. And you know, a second ago we mentioned, someone being critical or the bully, that greens just kind of step away. In my mind, as a green, I just say, all right, well, I'm not going to hang out with them ever again. You know, I just kind of, I don't need everyone to like me. And it's just like, okay, well, whatever. I'm just going to, you know, I don't need to have them in my life. And if they're there, I'm going to be nice and be loving. But I don't think into it, where the blues in my life, it's like, oh my goodness, just let it go. You don't have to make everything perfect.
Okay. My best friend, I'm not going to use any names. My best friend is a green. And she explains it like this. Her life doesn't need criticism, hassles, problems, complaining, And so therefore, she just writes it off. Anybody who is not necessary in her life, she walks away. And she does it in such a nice manner that nobody has any idea what's just happened to them. But she just walks away. Greens do not need people in their lives. That's the fascinating thing about temperaments. And so shocking to me because I'm yellow. But greens do not need people in their lives. Blues need very, very few people in their lives. Reds don't need anybody in their life unless it's to further their own agenda. And yellows need a million people in their lives to make them feel like it's exciting and fun and they're complete. So when you have your little kids that the little greens and the blues at school, don't be so concerned about them not having friends, because the greens will choose their friends and they will stay with their one or two friends that they like. If the people are too difficult, the greens will not be their friend. If the blues don't have one or two friends, then you can step in and maybe help with looking to see what's going on in the classroom. My daughter never needed a million friends when she was in school, and I was thinking she was, you know, not happy. No, she was perfectly happy with her two friends. And that is an interesting thing. Greens are passive aggressive, yes. They will usually do what they want to do, but they do it in such a nice way you'll never know. You'll never know you were blindsided.
Right. But in a committed, you know, relationship, I think that's something. Actually, I think we talked about this maybe in our first podcast, that the greens are the ones who will decide that everything's wrong and they're done and they walk away. Where they're, you know, so maybe a lack of commitment is an issue. And, with the child situation, I can see where there's a lot of, would it be greens that run away from their problems? You know, they just want to leave, you know, like, oh, I don't, let's just move to a different school. Let's just move to a different gym or ballet school or whatever.
That's right. That's right. The staying power has to be taught to a little green. The consistency has to be taught to a little green. Doing what you say you're going to do has to be taught to a little green.
Right.
Whereas a little blue, that is all they want to do. They want to do what they say they are going to do. So it's a really dramatic difference between those two. The blue is over the top conscientious and is usually a person of their word, where a green will just avoid what it doesn't make them happy and leave without even an explanation. Yes.
It seems to me like a real tantrum of a blue is where they refuse to talk. You know, if they go into serious pouting,
right?
How do we handle that? What do we do? How do we not allow the disrespect?
Right. Make sure that you explain to your blue why this is wrong. And you don't have to do this every time. But if this is something you've just discovered and your little blue throws their little pouts and they refuse to obey and things like that, take them aside. Don't do it in front of a group of people and explain to the child why this is disrespectful and disobedient in their family, and that this is not to be allowed. If they have a problem, they can tell mom what it is and we'll come to a conclusion. But refusing to obey and acting disrespectfully like this is not going to be allowed in this family. And then you find a consequence that will wake them up and make them realize you mean business. This is, every child is different. Sometimes it only takes one time for a blue, because they have such a huge, huge heart. And if you can appeal to their heart, this is something that might work. Oh, sorry. This is something that a blue needs to have it explained in detail. You can just issue a real fast critique with a red or a yellow maybe and get away with it, but not with the blue. They need to understand why this is wrong and why this cannot be repeated. And then talk about the consequence they're going to have if this happens again.
What would a consequence be? I'm really looking for details here. I just, you know, I remember having a conversation about the water idea, you know, and how some kids just think the water you know, getting their attention by spraying a little water on them.
I would tend to use that only with little reds.
Yeah.
Because that will actually interrupt a tantrum, a violent temper tantrum.
Right, right.
But a little blue needs to be removed from the situation immediately. I'm thinking in terms of if you've been told to go on stage or do something that's going to cause them public humiliation and they refuse to do it, remove the child from the situation. Don't let everyone see that your child is refusing to obey you. That will diffuse the situation almost immediately. Mm. That's when you go in and say, okay, did you see where this is wrong? Did you see where you were acting in defiance to me? And this is not allowed. Let's try this again. The next time you act like this, when we are out, such and such is going to happen. And make it something that's going to affect them personally. Something that they will not be happy with if it's taken away from them. Or if you make them do something that they don't want to do or whatever. I had a young blue in my house, and he really had such a big heart. And to this day also, that when he was disciplined, it went right to his heart and he was devastated. And he was the first one to always run in and apologize to me. I'm so sorry, mommy. I'm so sorry I disobeyed, you know, that type of thing. So the blues, you have the advantage because of their huge hearts and the fact that they do care and they care deeply. So
right.
Give them the chance to react positively.
And you're reminding me as a red mother that the worst thing, of course, with any child, you know, the worst thing you can do is criticize them and yell and say things about who they are, you know, and stuff like that, and basically hurting their feelings. But it can be probably the worst. You can hurt a blue's feelings the worst because they won't forget.
And
that's
they'll,
right. Oh. They'll really hang on to what you said and really...
They will never forget.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I remember as a teenager, I always tell my mom, like, I think by the time I was a teenager, when I was really just having behavior problems and my red was really, really strong between my mom and I. And I think what I, fortunately, this window was not too long, but I remember knowing how to hurt my mom's feelings to stop an argument.
I
learned how to criticize her
right.
and hurt her, my mom being a blue. And that's how I would win. And
right.
how, I mean, I've apologized for it because it's just horrible. And it's, you just can't use that. That's abusive, you know, right?
Absolutely.
To use, to intentionally hurt someone to win. And that goes back to the bullying situation, how... Yeah, reds will absolutely target blues because of their susceptibility to being broken, and they're easily broken.
That's right. My goodness, that's right. But as easily, they also mend. So as long as you deal with their heart, and they know they are loved, and they know they are appreciated, they will be the first to apologize and
right.
their behavior turn around. Absolutely.
Right.
The greens, not so much. As you pointed out, the little greens, if they don't like a situation, they're done. And they will withdraw and they will be quiet. And long after you think you've taken care of the situation and everything's fine in your household, the green is still withholding affection.
Right.
And communication and intimacy. And it's something that the greens need to be... made aware of so that this behavior also is not acceptable.
Right.
And that they need to be like the family and obey the rules and be part of this home unit.
Right. Yes. Like they find it easy to be unforgiving because they don't need to forgive because they are fine
they
without
care.
That person. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they don't care. Yeah, it's really foreign to me being a yellow to have these discussions with my best friend. And I look at her when she says, no, I don't care. And I go, explain that. Explain that to me, how you cannot care. This person's been in your life for 5 years and now suddenly you don't care. And no, it's just they can walk away. And not me. I want to send Christmas cards to them for 20 years after we've not seen each other. Right. You know. So that is fascinating about greens.
Yeah, I've experienced that, sadly, with some pretty tough situations in my life where I've really just, you know, a person has just pushed me over the edge where I don't care anymore. Like, you know, right. I feel like, okay, well, the relationship is officially over because I'm just not going to allow this type of behavior in my life, and I'm not going to expose myself to it. So the end. However, I have to see this person a lot. Don't worry, it's not my husband.
I envy you. I envy you. I can't walk away.
But the truth is, that's not God's heart, and God would stick his finger right on that spot of unforgiveness. And even though in my mind I thought, well, I forgive them, but I'm just done. And it's like, no, that's not God's heart to be done. God never gives up. He never gives up.
That's right.
So yes, I've had to realize I need to be the first person as a witness for the Lord to say something and ask for forgiveness from that person, even though I may not think that's what's necessary. Anyway, it's difficult. Yeah, it's because the green side can really just step away from a situation and not truly take care of what should be done and do the right thing because they don't really care.
Right.
It's true.
Okay, let me talk to you really quickly about another side of the green. Because the greens are so quiet, they don't get the credit for being funny that they should get. They're funny. They have a really quick wit, really dry wit. And the older the green child gets, the funnier they are. And in a crowd, you will not notice them so much, but one-on-one, a green can talk your leg off and can talk until you need to say, excuse me, but I have to go now. That is a green one-on-one are the talkers. But because they're so quiet in a crowd, nobody ever recognizes that. So greens prefer the one-on-one relationships because they care. They care about the people that they are interested in. And they can be really good friends. Listen and talk your leg off. But my friend is so funny. She is a green yellow, so she gets a double whammy there. She's yeah. one of the funniest people I know because she's funny in a crowd and she's funny one-on-one. And so the greens are fun to be around because of that dry wit.
But is there a negative side to that?
Yeah, it tends to be sarcastic.
I was going to say, are greens the sarcastic ones? Because I can't stand sarcasm. And
I know. They tend to be sarcastic and critical, and that's where the negative comes into it. That's why you want a little child at a young age to fall in love with Jesus, because they're going to avoid all these horrible pitfalls when they grow up. The sarcasm will be down to a minimum. The criticism will be down to a minimum because Jesus will be so much a part of their life. And that's why I cannot stress it enough with parents that this is huge. I'm not talking Sunday school on the weekends. I am not talking that or praying before meals. I'm talking about Jesus being part of your everyday life, talking about him as you drive the car, talking about him as you're cooking dinner, pointing out things to your kids that God made. Absolutely explaining how God cares about this. When you get your feelings hurt, God cares about this. He cares that you're hurt. These things are so important that he's part of their life. So when they get to the age where the negatives outweigh the positives, they will have a balance in their life and they will be God honoring with their temperament.
I love it. Wonderful. Well, I think that's so rich and so great and enough to cover this topic for now, at least. And
okay.
And we've definitely, you know, reached our maximum amount of time we try to stick to. So I think that's a great note to end it on. And of course, we'd love for you to keep following us and engage, comment, send us emails.
Tell others about our podcast.
Yes, please. And right now you can find all of our post podcasts at our websites, realfoodfamily.com and kathleenchapman.com. And we are slowly but surely getting on iTunes, and we are on YouTube, and there's different ways to subscribe. But really the best way to stay connected is to join our email lists. We both have fun little freebie items to give when you join our email list. You can take the temperament test when you join Kathleen's email list, and it's just the best way to stay informed and stay connected. And we're going to be posting this right before Thanksgiving, so we want to wish you a wonderful Thanksgiving time with your families, and we will talk to you next time. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.